Oh, there's never anything on this time of night.
Can I be talking?
That's pretty good, man. Est-ce qu'il fallait une...
Oh, you didn't know? It's me, it's that D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn.
My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Hey, it's Road Radimal. What a rush. Yo, monkeys, it's me, TTP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, stay tuned or you will feel bang. I am the genius full of glory and renown, Lanny Thomas.
What's up, all you stars and stars? This is Mariette.
It's Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
The world is listening.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
One cell, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the
three-time
wrestling radio show of the year, Wrestling News Live.
Oh, it's true! It's still true!
With the bad boys of wrestling radio, the Trey Dog.
He's got his own microphone, Tony. Larry, Mike.
And JJ.
All caps.
Sexy.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
And the winner of the People's Choice Award is...
Wrestling News Live. Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children all over the internet listening to this program via the SNS Radio Network, located, of course, at www.snsradionetwork.com. Of course, I am the recovering JJ, all caps, Sexay, Mr. Money on the Mic, if you will, even though I'm not really feeling it all that well these days, but I am back. I'm feeling a little rejuvenated, glad to be back for another episode of Wrestling News Live. And, you know, we've got a lot of things to talk about and a short amount of time to get them done in. So I do want to say we're going to be talking news of the week, sponsored, of course, by wrestling-online.com. We're going to be running down some of the fallout from last night's WWE Vengeance pay-per-view, where, yes, The Big Show and Mark Henry broke the ring for the second time that The Big Show has actually broken a WWE ring in about the last, 10 or 12 years. Also, we're going to be covering what happened tonight on Monday Night Raw. And I even want to talk a little bit about the TNA World Heavyweight title situation because, man, the news coming out of that is getting kind of crazy. But with that being said, guys, I'm not alone. Joining me on the line, he is the host and founder of Wrestling News Live. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dog is in the house.
Guess who's back?
They say I'm cocky, and I say what it ain't. Bragging motherfucker, if you back it up, they say I'm
things first, welcome back to JJ All Caps Sex A. I'm glad that the virus didn't hold you down. Number two, if you're out there and you're pissing me off in the chat room, I'm going to make short fucking work of you tonight. I am not in the mood. I would rather send your ass packing than put up with your shit. If you can't be an adult, then you can get the fuck out. And if you can't find your way out, I will gladly help thee find your way out of the chat room. Cross me and try it. Number three, I cannot believe we had a good pay-per-view and a good Raw back-to-back for the first time. And to be real honest with you, I can't tell you when.
It's been a while.
I mean, it was actually two good nights of WWE programming. And you follow that up with what was a record-breaking ratings night for TNA Wrestling, which, you know, isn't saying much compared to what the, I mean, with what they did. But I'm proud of the number they got. I'm proud of the direction that they went. You know, I'm glad you're back. I saw an episode of The Walking Dead last night, and I actually thought of the JJ Sexay household.
You know, it's been quite like that. You know,
I
finally
mean, there's zombies all over the place, trying to get in, and then there's this group of people in this one house. Only it was the opposite. The virus was on the outside instead of the inside.
I see. See, it all started. See, you know, my little girl, Lexi, goes to a day home. And luckily, the day home she goes to is run by a friend of mine that I trust. Because, you know, I wouldn't leave my children to just anybody. You know, it has to be someone that I trust. And unfortunately, some of the kids at her day home started getting sick, which got passed on to her. Her husband, her mom, and of course all the kids' parents ended up getting the sickness. Well, Lexi, I thought, was going to miss it. And then all of a sudden she showed up being the first one sick. Then Sienna got struck down. Then I ended up getting it. Then over the course of the last few days, Harmony got it. And then last night, Dakota got it. So now everybody in the house has had it.
Oh,
I think we're done.
Oh, no shit.
I think we're done.
Well, man, I'm one of those people that when I get sick, it's probably once a year, maybe that. But when I get sick, I get damn sick, and I'm down for like a week or two.
Well, I mean,
so I feel your pain, but then again, I don't either because I don't have anybody to worry about but myself. So,
well, yeah, and that's a good point. But I mean, the issue being, I was already sick before all this kind of happened with my voice kind of going away, you know, due to a cold. You know, and then we got this little mini flu that was just kind of going around. And, you know, I spent most of the weekend puking my guts up. So, yeah, it wasn't a pleasant weekend for me.
Well, it's not been a pleasant weekend for me either because the Sooners lost and now my Cardinals are trying to lose the World Series. So, thank God for wrestling. I haven't been able to say that in a long fucking time.
No, absolutely. I mean, you look at last night's Vengeance pay-per-view and, you know, I did purchase the pay-per-view, watched it. Last night while listening to SNS, and you know, I gotta be honest, I thought it was a fantastic show. If I had to give it a grade, I'd give it an A. I mean, the fact that, you know, a lot of people were talking about this in chat last night that, oh, it was a lame finish between Mark Henry and the Big Show, because, you know, you've got Mark Henry superplexing, the Big Show from the top turnbuckle, and this breaks the ring. Well, this was done back in 2003 in a match with Brock Lesnar and the Big Show on SmackDown. Which Brock Lesnar superplexed the Big Show. Now, when you're suplexing a guy that's about 500-plus pounds, and you're a guy that weighs, you know, over the 300, close to 400-pound mark, you're going to break the fucking ring. And I'm glad that they kind of brought that back, because a lot of people were bitching last night that, oh, well, they're stealing from this angle from 2003. How many wrestling fans, old-school wrestling fans, are around to still remember that? And how many casual wrestling fans that never saw that to begin with are watching wrestling now and didn't see Brock Lesnar and the Big Show when it happened? So, I mean, it's a new thing for them, and professional wrestling has always recycled old angles throughout history. So, I mean, that's always going to happen, and I thought it was, you know, 2003 to 2011, a pretty good leeway of seeing something happen again.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like that finish when it happened last night. But I was one of the few, I don't know, I guess in our chat room. You know, I thought it was a great way to keep Bo strong. Plus, It also showed Mark Henry, he did not want help. He wanted to make it up the ramp on his own will. And it was just a way of saying, okay, I took everything you've possibly got, and I walked away. I didn't walk away well, but I walked away. And that was kind of the thing I took from it.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, they've done a great job of building Mark Henry up as this this monster and a guy that, you know, is going to defy the odds. He's going to do things his way. He's waited 15 years to be the champion, you know, and he got up on his own recognizance and you know, made his way out of the arena. And, you know, I like the fact that there was no finish to that match. It really adds to what are they going to do next. Are they going to have a match at Survivor Series? Does this carry on into December to the or even January to the Royal Rumble? I mean, I like where this is going.
Well, the thing about last night's pay-per-view, if you watched it or if you listened to the show last night, every match had a purpose, which most of them do, but not only did every match have a purpose, but every match took you someplace where they need to go. And every match went forward instead of backwards, you know. Every match had a clear-cut good win or a win that needed to be the way they did it. Even the Divas match wasn't bad, considering, you know. I saw several tweets last night from wrestlers and wrestling fans talking about how even the Divas match was great. You know, Jim Ross said it was a great performance by Eve. And for once, it was a wrestling match, even with the women. You know, the Kevin Nash thing, I jokingly said it because you hear things like that throughout the week. It came true. I won't say I predicted it because I didn't, but I did say, you know, there's a rumor he's supposed to be there to take out Triple H, and that's what happened. You know, it's just one of those things that happened to come true. But all in all, the pay-per-view last night, they did a great job of leading towards Raw tonight. They did an even better job on Raw tonight, leading to the future for the WWE.
You know, when you look at, you know, what my quick pick totals were last night, I think I had two right out of the entire thing. And, you know, I know a lot of people probably think that upsets me when I'm wrong.
It was the fever.
People think I'm upset when I'm wrong. I actually like when I'm wrong. I like when I only get one or two picks out of a whole pay-per-view card, because that to me shows that they've kind of turned things around and they're willing to go a different route. I mean, I completely expected Dolph and Jack Swagger, or Angle Jr. for a better term, were going to walk away with the tag team championships last night. I thought that
give me both.
Dolph Ziggler was going to drop the U.S. title to Zack Ryder,
and give me both.
You know, Dolph Ziggler pulling double duty last night did a fantastic job. That super kick he put on Zack Ryder was beautiful.
Well, I mean, and speaking of great super kicks, I mean, James isn't known for his great super kick, but the one he put on Kurt Angle on Thursday was pretty damn good, too.
True that.
You know, I mean, it was a quick, solid slap to the jaw, you know, with the foot of your boot. And, you know, that just goes to show you how valuable Ziggler is right now, that he can pull double duty and do it well. You know, I mean, he's somebody they really need to invest some time in and protect, and don't force him down our throats too soon. And don't, you know, the WWE's real bad about like with what they've done to Jomo. I mean, somebody made a comment here that he hasn't won since fucking when was it? I can't. It's been so long. It's he's got like 12 losses in a row or some shit. You know.
Yeah, Jomo's on that I'm leaving soon tour.
Yeah, he's on the future endeavor list.
Pretty much.
Soon.
You know,
but, I mean, you got to be careful, because with a guy like Ziggler, he loses to the wrong guy once or twice, and you fucked him up.
You know, and here's the thing with Dolph Ziggler. You and I talked about this a lot. I think that Dolph Ziggler in 2012 might actually be the guy that's going to hit that next level. I already consider him the next Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah, I just hope that he's not the first one to win that doesn't cash in. That's got to happen eventually, and I hope that happens with Daniel Bryan.
Well,
it's almost like they've tried to get you to forget he's even got the damn thing.
I think it's going to. I really do. You know, talk about a moment. You could have had Daniel Bryan try to cash in on Mark Henry last night.
Oh, my God. I never thought about that.
You know, and they didn't have Mark Henry kill him on SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that would have been funny. They probably should have done that. That would have been funny. What do you do?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because all the rumors that I'm hearing right now.
That makes things so real, too, because, I mean, you know that there's no way that after what happened to Henry last night, he'd have to get to his feet to start the match with the new rules.
You know, and then if they really wanted him to be dominant, you know, you could have, you know, Daniel Bryan maybe run at him to try to do something and then have Mark Henry hit him with the world's strongest slam and pin him right there. Kind of be a backfired opportunity, right?
Well, it needs to happen. It needs to happen once, at least. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it will. It will. And I think Bryan's going to be the guy, which sucks. I know there's a lot of Bryan fans out there, Bryan Danielson fans. But
it goes back to the old, you know, if Vince McMahon didn't create you and you're popular without his creation, when you come in, he kills you.
Yep.
Kind of the same thing happening here.
Kinda, you know. I think Vince McMahon doesn't see money in Bryan Danielson. That's all there is.
It goes back to that pipe bomb that CM Punk dropped about how, you know, Triple H and the boys in the back sit around their table talking about who's got potential and who doesn't have potential and yada yada yada, and how, you know, this guy's not big enough because he's not the stereotypical big badass, and Daniel Bryan falls into that category.
Yep, he kind of does. But no, you know, like I said, overall, even the Divas match I thought was decent. You know, a solid A-plus show last night. And looking at the card on pay-per-view, I wouldn't have thought that. You know, I even thought Cena and Alberto Del Rio was fantastic. However, I absolutely hated a lot of the fucking near-fall finishes where John Cena would, the building would fall on top of him, and John Cena would get up magically at the count of nine. And then at the end of the fucking match, the Kryptonite that beat Superman, ladies and gentlemen, after having all these fucking glass cases, these metal glass cases dropped on John Cena, after everything Alberto Del Rio did to try and pin him to the mat for a 10 count, the thing that made it happen was a shot to the face with the WWE Championship.
Well, yeah, but he also got the skull-crushing finale from The Miz and then the R-Truth finisher also right before that.
But even still, man, I mean, I know John Cena's strong, but when he was buried underneath all that stuff, that should have been a finish of the match right there.
Yeah, but in all honesty, Del Rio did a good job of selling that to make it look like it was hard to push over, but it's really light. It's like just plexiglass.
Well, still, it gave the illusion.
Like Ashley says, the kryptonite was hidden in his own spinner belt.
Perhaps. But that was, you know, that was probably the only thing that I really had a problem with, was the fact that there were so many, you know, near finishes where Cena would get up at the last second, considering, like I said, a building just fell on him. You know, a bus ran him over. He got right back up.
A polar bear fell on me.
You know, an airplane crashed from the sky through the arena ceiling, and he managed to get up at the nine count. But,
well,
hey,
yeah,
the belt to the face took him out.
Which nobody caught the underlying reason why you played Superman when you started the music tonight, but
pretty much, yeah.
They were too busy talking about how great of a song it was. They didn't catch the fact it was a dig at John Cena.
There's always a reason I play certain songs. You just have to figure that out. It's a little bit of psychology.
The question is, and Aki THQ man in the chat room, he brings it up, but I'm changing it a little bit. You know, Kermit's already rocking the Cena gear. Is he going to rock the new Cena gear?
Probably.
You're good, Steamy.
Next week is going to be interesting. The Muppets invade Raw.
Yeah, we also going to discuss the show for next week. I don't know that I'm going to be here. I don't even know that I'm going to see Raw on Halloween. I may be out with my niece and nephews.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. I'm probably going to be doing that too.
You got kids too, so.
I got kids, so I got to figure out what we're going to do about the Halloween show next week. We might have to do a special edition later in the week, WNL, next week. I don't know.
Maybe. Or, by God, just take a week off.
No, we could do that. We could do that. So, we'll figure it out either way. But there are some news stories I want to get to. Before I jump into news of the week, did you hear what Greg Gumbel said about Hulk Hogan?
Greg Gumbel?
Yes.
Why would Greg Gumbel be talking about Hulk Hogan to begin with?
Well, from my understanding, Hulk Hogan said something about Tim Tebow a couple weeks ago.
Okay, why would Hulk Hogan be talking about Tim Tebow?
Well, see, that's what I don't get, but I have some audio I want to play for you because I found it interesting and I thought this needed to be brought up. But this is and this has pissed Hulk Hogan off. He's been talking about on Twitter that he'd like to welcome you know Greg Gumbel to that fake wrestling ring and you know have him stand in the middle of the ring with him. And I thought to myself, why? So you could just stand there and look at him? What are you going to do, Hogan? But this is what Greg Gumbel said about Hulk Hogan. Check this out.
You know, you remember 2 weeks ago, Hulk Hogan came out and really ripped Tim Tebow, and I was thinking to myself, I must have been out of the country when Hulk Hogan, when people cared what he thought about anything other than play acting in a fake sport.
And there you have it.
So this apparently pissed off Hulk Hogan this week.
Well, then maybe he shouldn't have opened his mouth about Tim Tebow.
Pretty much. It's what happens,
I mean,
man. You open your mouth.
What you going to do, brother, when you open your mouth about shit you don't know about and people respond to you?
Makes you look like a dipshit, Hogan. Just saying. But with that said, let's go ahead and jump into some news of the week, sponsored, of course.
I'm pissed off at Gumbel for not mentioning TNA.
Well, Hogan doesn't mention TNA either, so they're equal on that front. But let's go ahead and transition into some news of the week, sponsored, of course, by wrestling-online.com. If you're not a subscriber to the newsletter, what the fuck are you waiting for? Goes out to 27,000 other subscribers more than, oh, I'd say three or four times a week. It's all the news you need right there. So subscribe, because you know what? Just like Wrestling News Live, it's fucking free, people.
Free!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
I like this. Looking in the chat room, Maverick says, the moral of the story, kids, Hulk Hogan should shut the fuck up. Yes.
Yes.
That is completely and utterly the moral of the story. Somebody give Maverick a rubber tortilla. All right, let's go ahead and jump into some news of the week. I don't know if many people caught the Scott Hall ESPN story last week.
Yes, I did.
According to that particular story, an ESPN.com article that accompanies the E60 Scott Hall special reveals that the WWE has spent a six-figure amount in hopes of helping Scott Hall kick his drug and alcohol addiction through their rehab program. It's the most amount of money we've spent on anyone, quotes Stephanie McMahon during the documentary. I just want Scott to get help and decide for himself that he needs help. It makes me sad, noting that she thinks Hall was an incredibly talented performer, larger than life, charismatic. Scott Hall himself said he's lucky to still be alive and thinks there must be a reason he's still around. I should have been dead 100 times, Hall says. The documentary aired on Wednesday on ESPN and included interviews with other wrestling personalities, including Hulk Hogan. So sad.
It was sad. It was done in typical E60 fashion. A lot of those stories, though, they like to try to end them on a good note, like where the athlete has, you know, bounced back. They couldn't do that with Scott. There's no happy ending there yet. And that's all Scott's fault. You know, I mean, when it comes down to the whole, you know, promoter that put him in the ring when he was all fucked up and foobarred, you know, I agree with everybody. That's Bush League, and it shouldn't happen. You know, that guy's a jerk, and trust me, he'll get his. But, you know, by the same token, Scott shouldn't have been there when he was that fucked up. He should have canceled if he was still fucked up from the night before. You know, who polices this guy? Somebody needs to police this guy. And I don't mean the cops. I mean somebody needs to take care of this guy, set his appointments, do his booking for him. You know, he needs to get help and get straight. And I hope that he does. And yeah, Anthony Farley in the chat brings up a point in the chat. Anyone else notice that when Triple H mentioned his friends, a.k.a. the Click, he never mentioned Scott Hall? Yeah, he didn't. And I'm sure that hurt the feelings of somebody like Scott Hall that was probably sitting at home watching.
Probably so. You know, back to what you said, though, I mean, that promoter that brought him out to that show, you got to remember, the guy spent a hell of a lot of money to get Scott Hall there.
And I understand that. I understand that, JJ, but you wouldn't have done it.
Well, but at the same time, I mean, how am I getting my money back if I've already paid this son of a bitch?
You're not. You got to eat it. I mean, at that point, you got to put the business above everything else and eat it. No. You know, if you have to, I mean, trust me, if that would have happened during one of me and Tracy's shows, that guy would have never been out of the curtain. Never.
No, I hear you.
You know, and I would tell the fans, look, I'm sorry, we booked Scott Hall. He's drunk. He's about half fucked up, and he can't even tell you his own name. I'm not putting him out here in our ring, and I'm not going to insult you fans by doing that. So the show goes on.
Nope, I hear you. In other news, Maryse, the WWE diva, is on the cover of Sessions magazine.
Yeah.
Currently featured on the cover, issue number 4, the French-Canadian beauty posed for 10 photos snapped by Amanda Gift. The magazine is a collection of fashion, beauty, and art photography captured by some of the most sought-after photographers in the world. You can see all of her 10 stunning photos, cover, and see why she's one of the hottest WWE divas over at wrestling-online.com. So check
now,
that out.
I don't know if these are the same photos, but The Miz tweeted something about how I'm the luckiest guy on the planet, yada, yada, yada. Check out these photos. And it was about 10 photos of her and Daisy Dukes in a flannel top. And, yeah, she looked yummy.
He's got a point. Although Andy Knowles would probably beg to differ because, well, she's French-Canadian.
Well, that makes him gay.
And, well, no. He hates French-Canadian girls simply because he dated one. And it went wrong.
Oh, well, she could be French hellion, and I wouldn't care.
I hear you. We've talked about this before on this particular show, but we've talked about former WWE diva Stacy Keibler and her relationship with the Cloonster.
The Clooner!
Apparently, as of late, Hollywood actor George Clooney has been taking his girlfriend, former WWE diva Stacy Keibler, to the New York Film Festival and Paris premiere of his movie, The Descendants. This is the first time that Clooney walked down the red carpet with Keibler after 2 months of dating. Maybe things are getting serious between the two.
All right.
It's a very interesting news story, don't you think?
I heard something else about Stacy Keibler today. That her personal appearance fee has almost, it's doubled since dating George Clooney.
Really?
Yeah, she was doing appearances for like $10,000 an appearance. Now, if you want to book Stacy Keibler, you get her for the price of $25,000, which goes to prove the point that scientists have been trying to prove for decades, that if George Clooney puts his dick in you, in fact, your shit does not stink.
Wow, scientists have been trying to prove that for a while, huh?
It's a given fact. There's courses that you can take, yeah.
Wow. Well, like I said, kudos to both George Clooney and Stacy Keibler. I hope this relationship lasts for a while. I want to see where this goes.
I mean, I'm a fan of George Clooney. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of the guy. And I know that he's past his prime, that he was at one point, you know, the People Magazine's best-looking male of the year, whatever, whoever does that, male of the best-looking man of the year, whatever. You know, and it is, as a straight man, I could look at another guy and go, man, I bet that guy pulls some serious ass. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I could look at George Clooney and go, man, when he was in his late 20s, early 30s, that dude could pull some ass. How old is he now? 40? 50?
I think he's got to be close to 50.
And he's pulling Stacy Keibler ass? That's quality ass in your 50s.
No, that's true. I won't deny that.
Brother is my hero.
As we talked about, of course, last week was TNA's Bound for Glory. We were all disappointed that Bobby Roode did not overcome the odds, beat Kurt Angle, and win the TNA World Heavyweight Championships. Well, at the TNA Impact tapings last week, a new TNA World Champion was crowned. That TNA World Champion was Cowboy James Storm.
Yeah!
Which I found interesting. I like James Storm as much as anybody else. But it seems interesting that they would pull a push from Bobby Roode and give it to James Storm. And then, to go along with that, as soon as we're done with the news of the week, I've got a little something added extra to this. So So stay tuned for more to this continuing story. We also saw the return of Gail Kim to TNA Wrestling.
And again, I was in the chat room with some people while this was on TV Thursday night. And it would have been so much better for Gail and for TNA had the Queen, Karen Jarrett, been barking at Velvet with Madison Rayne in the ring. They could have beat her down. The referees are holding Tracy Brooks back at the ramp because she's trying to come down and help. And then, for the save, through the crowd, babyface Gail Kim. Again, TNA is taking somebody who should be the ultimate babyface and trying to make him a heel just to go, fuck you, we're doing it our way.
Well, you know, they're like Frank Sinatra. They did it their way.
It's bass backwards. It's like taking Jeff Hardy, coming from the WWE. He's shitting little gold nuggets. Now, granted, he sells most of them for drugs, but he's shitting little gold nuggets. He's so over. He's the most fucking over wrestler in professional wrestling. And TNA gets their hands on him, and they turn him into a fucking heel? What the fuck? Really? Come on.
Yeah. Baffles the mind, my friends. Baffles the mind.
And now I'm afraid, really afraid, the one good thing TNA does have going for him is this Fortune thing. I'd like to see him get rid of Daniels out of the group. He doesn't fit anymore. He doesn't belong. But with the four guys that they still have, now there's going to be dissension in the ranks because Storm has the title that Rude wants and deserves. And now they're going to end up breaking up Fortune over this. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's exactly where they're going with it. You know, and you're right. Daniels doesn't belong in the group. So, you know, we're not TNA bookers. You know, we don't profess to be, so we'll see what happens.
Crowley says it was Jeff's idea to turn heel. That didn't make it right, dude.
No, it just proves he's an idiot.
You know, I'd like to go to the bathroom after the show and shit a gold brick. That means it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, how do you take the number one babyface in 2009, the biggest babyface in the WWE, next to John fucking Cena? He leaves the company, he goes to TNA Wrestling, and you don't even fucking capitalize the fact that this is the guy that was a big draw for them? You turn him fucking heel instantly? Stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's stupid.
Baffles the fucking mind.
That's like saying, oh, we don't want to make money, we just want to stump the IWC. We got you.
Stop trying to stump us and fucking write some good stories. Shit.
Pitbull says, well, if it was his idea, was Jeff high at the time?
Probably. That sums it up right there. I do want to send out my, you know, my good well wishes to WWE Hall of Famer Gerald Briscoe. He apparently suffered a stroke on Wednesday.
Yeah.
While he was en route to Mexico to do some talent scouting for the WWE. His son changed destinations from airport to the hospital, and Briscoe was lucky he wasn't the one driving the car when the symptoms kicked in. So, Briscoe's been with the company since about 1984 and is now a talent scout for the company. You know, again, I want to wish Gerald Briscoe, who's actually been on this network on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, speedy recovery, and we wish him the best.
Get well soon.
Speaking of WWE employees, Spanish announced team member is leaving the WWE. I know, it's crazy. Can you believe this, Trey?
Too many broken tables.
Hugo Savivovich, the 52-year-old, one half of the Spanish announce team, has announced he will be retiring and leaving the WWE after spending 14 years with the company.
Now, who is he married to?
I have no idea who he's married to.
He was married to one of the original divas, like, not Sonny, but somebody.
Well, no, it wasn't Sonny.
No, I know it wasn't Sonny, but it was... It was a diva, a popular diva. I can't think of her name.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, Hugo Savinovich leaving the company. Who knew? I guess, you know, they broke the Spanish announce table one too many times, Trey.
Wendy Richter.
He's married to Wendy Richter?
If not was, is. Or if not is, was. It is crazy. But you know what's even more crazy? His name was Savinovich, which is like Russian, and he's Spanish.
Yeah, there you go. Apparently, Mick Foley is returning to Raw on November 14th.
Is that the Boston show?
That is the 3-hour Monday Night Raw from Boston, Massachusetts.
All right.
The hardcore legend will be there along with his former tag team partner, The Rock, for the final Survivor Series push, which takes place the following Sunday in New York's Madison Square Garden. He last appeared on WWE TV August 1st, 2008, after he was attacked by Edge while he was doing SmackDown commentary. He departed WWE a month later and joined TNA immediately afterward. So,
just goes to show you that, you know, people talk a lot of shit on old Vinnie Mac, but he's got a pretty open heart when he lets people like Mick Foley come back, who went straight to TNA and did everything but call Vince a motherfucker on live TV.
I mean,
he talked all kinds of shit about Vince being in his ear and how he'd rather do commentary without somebody screaming at him all the time. And, you know, Vince is an evil motherfucker. And he did everything but call Vince a fucking white guy. He's, you know.
Keep in mind that Mick Foley is someone who can make money for the WWE.
Yeah, I hope this time he's not coming in just to push something.
Exactly. But, you know, we'll see. Who knows? They might have some big major plan going forward with Mick Foley. Apparently, another Jersey Shore cast member is going to be appearing on TNA Impact. Yes,
now
I know.
This one makes sense.
Spike TV announced the Jersey Shore's Ronnie Ortiz will be making his TNA wrestling debut on Thursday, November 3rd. The announcement came through a press release adding that he will be appearing on two episodes that will tape on October 26th from the Macon Coliseum in Macon, Georgia. Ortiz is the third Jersey Shore personality to appear on TNA's programming after JWoww and Angelina Pivarnik. So there you go.
And what's really ironic, at least they did it right this time, because the Shore just had their season finale last Thursday. So they don't have to worry about going head-to-head with Jersey Shore in a brand-new episode on Impact. At least this time, they're bringing in the right guy. He's a big dude. He's a big fucking dude. He looks like a fucking wrestler, you know. And they're tying it in with Robbie and the fact that, you know, they're basically saying because Eric Young is the TV champion, he has, you know, all the TV world at his disposal. So he's going to use his TV and his television influence to bring in Ronnie from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Which, you know, makes sense.
I'm not laughing at this one. I think this is a good idea. I really do think this is a good idea for them.
No, it makes sense. Apparently, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Tyson Tomko going through a lot of rough spots as of late.
Yeah, no shit, right?
He has decided to check himself into WWE-sponsored rehab.
He finally better check himself before he wrecks himself.
Exactly. Tyson Tomko finally posted bail this past Thursday and left jail after he was arrested on October 10th and charged with robbery. The former WWE and TNA wrestler was booked after cops found him inside a bathroom of a local Chili's restaurant following a robbery of a CVS pharmacy earlier that day. He stole 210 tablets of the painkiller oxycodone and injected 170 of them after they were crushed.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I know he's a big guy, right?
Yeah.
And I won't lie to you. I'm a fan of oxycodone. I wouldn't say I've misused them, but, you know, there were times when I slowed down my drinking and I slowed down everything else, and, you know, I got a few and I'd take them to go to sleep because I'm a night owl. And if I have something important the next day I've got to do, I don't sleep well because I'm afraid that I'll stay up too late and oversleep. And it's just a mental thing with me. Plus, I have sleep apnea, so I don't breathe well while I sleep. I never get good, deep sleep. So when I needed it, I'd pop two or three of those bad boys, and within 30 minutes to an hour, I'd be out. But I know the feeling that I would have off just two or three of those before I crashed. It's a euphoric, almost. It's funny because they put you to sleep, but for me, when I first take them, it's like, you know, snorting a rail of cocaine. You know, I'm ready to party. That doesn't last very long until then I'm ready to crash and go to sleep. I can't keep my eyes open, but I just can't imagine 170 in your system at one time?
Yep.
Holy fuck. And like I said, I know he's a big guy. But shit.
Well, according to his attorney, James McCune, he'll be heading to the WWE-sponsored rehab immediately. He's very grateful for all the support he's received from his friends, family, and fans around the world. Tom Coe realizes he is struggling with an addiction, and with the support of his family and the WWE, he is voluntarily checking himself into an undisclosed treatment facility to receive the help he needs for a successful recovery. You know, I want to see Tyson Tom Coe go through this program, get everything he needs, come back clean and sober. And I got to be honest, Trey, with the way Christian is floundering right now on the SmackDown brand, losing match after match, a guy like Tyson Tom Coe coming back to his aid to be the problem solver might actually help Christian win another world title with Tyson as his backup. And I think that's what they need to do. If Tyson Tom Coe can get his problems in check, I think he's probably got another run where he might actually do something with Christian again.
I'd like to see it. I know the WWE is really, really open and really, really helpful for former wrestlers getting help, but how eager are they to bring those people back to work?
Well, look at it this way. You know, with Booker T, it was, he's a former felon. With MVP, he's a former felon. It was a good, you know, a goodwill story. Especially with Linda McMahon running for Senate again. You're bringing these guys in for a second chance. It's going to look good on her resume.
Yeah, but it's going to look bad on her resume for employing him in the first place also. It's a catch-22.
Not really. Not really.
Depending on who you ask. I think it is.
Who knows, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Farley brings up a good point in the chat room. Why not just pair him up with Brodus Clay? Well, Brodus Clay needs to go on his own. I mean, Brodus has been the backup guy. He's getting the vignettes now. He needs to go out on his own.
Yeah, I think Brodus is going to be a big deal.
But, I mean, we hear all these good stories about Stephanie talking about how Scott Hall's been in rehab so many times it's cost the company six figures. I don't deny that. You know, Matt Hardy is in there right now because the WWE's put him in there. Sean Waltman's been in on the WWE dime. You know, but my theory is how many of those people and how many of these people that they've put in these rehabs, bless their heart, have they opened up and given a job to once they graduated and came out?
Exactly. Apparently, you know, we talked about Heath Slater being suspended for 30 days. He's recently had a statement in regards to his suspension. You heard about this?
Did anybody hear it?
Apparently, I think the people at the local Wendy's heard it when he was.
If you throw a Wendy's hamburger in the forest and nobody's around, does anybody see it?
Probably not. Following his 30-day suspension announcement after failing the wellness program drug test, Heath Slater said that when he returns, he will be more determined, fearless, and confident, and an improved person. The former Nexus member apologized for disappointing his fans and family and said that he made a simple mistake, something that everyone does once in a while. He promised he will not be making the same mistake again when he returns. He'll be the man he wants to be. So, take from that, ladies and gentlemen, that he's getting that sex change operation in Switzerland.
It's a circle. It's a ring. There's no beginning and no ending. It's a circle of life.
And as we talked about earlier, Impact got its best rating, I think, ever. Impact Wrestling's rating last week with the fallout for Bound for Glory did big numbers, setting a record for the show on Spike TV. The show did a 1.35 rating with an average of 2,019,000 viewers, up from the previous week, 1.05, and around an additional 600,000 viewers.
That's a start. Now let's see what happens.
It is a start, but I do have to say that I think the reason their ratings were so high was based on the fact that people found out there was a world title change on Impact and that it was a TNA original. And I think that's what brought a lot of people to the
show. And, you know, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but after seeing how the quarter hours were broken down, that was the lowest rated segment of the show.
Really?
Yes. The lowest rated, and it pains me to say this because Storm's my boy, but everybody seems to think that's why the rating was so high. Well, if that's the case, then why was the main event the lowest rated part of TNA Impact on Thursday night?
Well, there you go.
Makes you go.
Now, apparently, you know, this incoming WWE network, there's been a lot of talk of new shows that are going to be debuting on the network. A Raw versus Nitro show is coming to the network, believe it or not. The Monday Night War is coming back to the WWE Network, and when the channel launches in 2012, yet again, the WWE is asking for your help on the input of the latest show announced. It will take a look back at the war between Raw and Nitro from 95 to 2001, and the description says that the whole saga will be unfolded in one season. There are five names being pitched for the show, which are Battleground, Raw versus Nitro, Battleground, the Monday Night Wars, the Monday Night War, WWE Raw versus WCW Nitro, and Monday Night Warfare. You can vote, of course, at http://poll.wwe.com/new/show. So that
what,
is
what if they all suck?
I think you should just go with the Monday Night War.
Yeah, why not just go with Monday Night War? We all know that we know what that is.
I mean, you made a DVD based on that. Just go with that. Shit, call it the Monday Night War.
Well, the thing is, though, and if I'm not mistaken, on what limited, what is it called? WWE TV that they've got right now, the way 24/7,
right?
Their channel, they do a thing called the Monday Night Wars already, where they show the Nitro and then the Raw from that Monday. So why not just call it the Monday Night War? I guess that's why they're not calling it the Monday Night Wars.
Possibly. Apparently, there was some news coming out of tonight's Raw that Michelle McCool and The Undertaker were backstage. Of course, they both live in the in that area, so it makes kind of sense that they were there, you know, visiting their you know, coworkers and whatnot.
Right.
And my final story, and I'm trying to actually find this because I had it here earlier. Todd Grisham is kind of in some trouble with ESPN right now.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah,
I mean, he just started with it, too.
For lack of getting myself in the same kind of trouble, I'm really not going to comment what I think.
Okay. Something about a Trail of Tears reference?
Yeah, the Trail of Tears, it's an Indian thing.
Right.
You should know this from living in Oklahoma.
I do.
He made reference to Sooner fans being left in a trail of tears, trying to segue an Oklahoma saying or Oklahoma history thing into the Oklahoma loss to Texas Tech. And he did that by segueing with the Trail of Tears for Sooner fans. Not so much. Indians all over the world freaked out, and I mean, Indians, no offense. You got more money than God. You got what every white man wants: money, cigarettes, and cheap booze. You got us back. You got us back. We took your land for corn and buffalo or whatever the fuck we talked you out of it for. You know, really, it happened so long ago. Are you still that bent out of shape about it? I mean, it ain't like the white man stole your land out from underneath your three-bedroom house last week. It happened before any of us were alive. Let it go.
And if I could add to this little, if I could be racist for a moment segment.
As I live next to the Indian hospital.
Oh, yeah. There you go. You know, I did some grocery shopping today with Harmony. And I just, you know, I know we don't have a lot of Asians that listen to this show that you know, on a frequent basis talk to us.
Right.
But I got to ask, if you guys can fucking drive cars and do the Tokyo Drift, why the fuck can't you pull in and out of a fucking parking space?
Really?
I mean, that is a fucking, if Confucius was alive today, I would ask him that fucking question. Why is it so hard for Asians to pull in and out of a fucking parking space?
Well, now we got the chat room going all racist.
Probably.
You know, the thing about it is, you know, I'm a white man. I'm 36. I've never suffered. You know, but by the same token, none of you fucking black people in the chat room have suffered either. Slavery happened, but it didn't fucking happen to you, so get the fuck over it. I'm sorry. But your mom and dad weren't slaves, and your mom and dad's mom and dad probably weren't slaves, and it happened so long ago, it's just time to move on. I didn't do it. My parents didn't do it. My parents' parents didn't do it. Just like the damn Indians. You lost your land. Well, you made a bad deal. Sorry. I didn't do it.
That's true. You did make a bad deal.
I didn't personally go down the street and uproot a fucking house full of Indians and take their fucking three-bedroom condo. I didn't do it. I have nothing to do with it.
No, I agree. Anyway, sorry, I had to get off on a tangent. You started getting racial, and I had to fucking throw that in there. But with that being said, let's go ahead and, you know, that was the news brought to you, of course, by wrestling-online.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. That said, we're going to take our first commercial break of the night, come back, do some Raw coverage.
Hey, you said you had something else about the James Storm thing.
We're going to talk about it as soon as we come back.
Okay.
I want to make sure that I cover that first thing as soon as we come back. We're going to talk about the James Storm situation in TNA, and then we're going to talk some Monday Night Raw right after this. So, guys, we'll be right back with more Wrestling News Live.
This is Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Network. Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show.
Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
Youngest undisputed WWE champion in history. He defeated a global box office sensation to win that title. Now, after an extended absence, he's back. And this time, the gloves are off. He's bigger, badder, and better than ever before.
Here comes the pain. Only in WWE 12.
You know, in the world of pro wrestling radio, there's always someone out there who will always try to get under your skin.
I want to really drive Andy to the point where he wants to choke me out. Because I'm going to drive him right off the edge of the cliff.
They'll always try, but in the end, it always comes down to the truth.
That moment when silent rage blows the gasket, this match is over.
You know, I'm really just a nice guy at heart. But
don't piss me off, okay?
I mean, come on.
The truth is going to hurt someone.
Catch your weekly search for the truth right here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
Hey fans, ring announcer Sean Beckerman here. Want to go back in time and relive the greatest and worst in the world of sports entertainment? From all-time favorite matches to the worst gimmicks in pro wrestling, we cover it all. So join us each and every week on the SNS Radio Network as we go beyond the bell.
JJ Sexay.
He has amassed an incredibly large DVD library, and it is said that he never once alphabetized it. If he were to mail a letter without postage, it would still get there. When it is raining, it is because he's thinking about something sad. The pheromones he secretes have been known to affect people miles away in a slight but measurable way. He once punched a magician. That's right, you heard me. His blood smells like cologne. His hands feel like rich brown suede.
JJ Sexay.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I listen to Wrestling News Live. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.
This is Cowboy James Storm, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. And if you don't like that, sorry about your damn luck.
Yeah, that's right. You heard it there. Cowboy James Storm, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, bringing us back in from our commercial break. Unfortunately, due to some shoutcast errors, this is going to be the podcast-only section of the broadcast. Be sure and get this archived as quickly as possible. But, of course, I am Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ Allcaps Sexay, and I'm joined, of course, by the host and founder of Wrestling News Live, ladies and gentlemen, the Trey Dog.
I just can't get over the stupidity of some of the people in chat. I just told them that the show for tonight is over due to the fact the Shoutcast server is down and we cannot broadcast without it. So we're going to record the rest of the show, put it up as an available podcast later on tonight. And the half of them are asking, does that mean the show's over? Is the show not coming back on tonight? You dumb sons of bitches. God
help him, Trey. We love him.
Somebody needs to help him. I mean, I can't type in crayon.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, before we went to break, I alluded to a big news story coming out of TNA Wrestling, and WrestleZone was reporting, obviously, that there is some problems right now as far as TNA is concerned, whether it's the talent or creative, I'm not sure, but problems coming out of the TNA locker room, perhaps, with Cowboy James Storm as the TNA World Champion. Any thoughts on this?
The way I read this afternoon, I think that they're saying that the locker room, members of the locker room, that obviously are trying to remain nameless, they don't think that James is a suitable flag bearer for the company, is what they're saying. That he's too southern, that he's too redneck. Well, like I said in the Facebook post about this topic, you know, what the hell's TNA thinking? I mean, redneck, beer drinking, middle finger flipping, anti-establishment, good old cowboys, they don't ever get over in this business, ever.
No, never. That's never happened.
And that's the bottom line, because the Trey Dog said so.
A beer-drinking redneck that's anti-establishment will never be anything in this business. It's never happened in the history.
Well,
there was that guy Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, there was that whole 316 thing that was like a flash in the pan.
But let me see. Hulk Hogan decides that Bobby Roode's not ready because he's not billed from Venice Beach, California, or Minnesota, or any place like that, because he's from Canada, okay? This is what Hogan said in this interview. He's too Canadian. So now I'm getting that James Storm is too Southern. Can we say Jeff Hardy's too high? Maybe Kurt Angle's too injured? Christopher Daniels doesn't weigh enough?
Samoa Joe's too fat.
Samoa Joe weighs too much.
Crimson has too many tattoos.
Yes.
AJ Styles isn't big enough.
There you go.
Let's see. Who else? Sting's too old.
Sting is definitely too old, yes.
Dixie's not naked enough.
Okay, yeah, that'll work too.
I mean, really? Orlando Jordan's too gay.
Well, he's too bisexual anyway.
Eric Young's beard's too big.
Yeah, his beard's way too big.
Robbie E uses too much hair gel. I mean, really? Really?
Who writes this shit? I mean,
what this is, is somebody in the back, somebody that this website wrestles on, or somebody that they've contacted within the company, wants to remain nameless, obviously, has leaked to them. They think that James isn't the right poster child for the company because of his beer drinking and he's, you know, too much of a cowboy redneck. Well, that's just, you know, probably one or two people's opinion, and it's getting blown way out of proportion. Because I've been backstage with these people, and I'm not name dropping, and I'm not going to go through all that, but those originals, those members of the original TNA crew that are still there, are nothing but proud of the fact a guy like James Storm, a TNA original, is holding that belt for the first time. I'll guarantee it.
Absolutely. I would have to agree with that.
So, I don't buy all that crap. You know, I just by the same token, I mean, nothing against James, but I don't see him being a long-term champion anyway.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you there. I didn't understand why, you know, you pulled the rug out from Bobby Roode.
Well, and this is what's weird, is that I'm not going to, you know, go into great detail about it, but listening to Meltzer when asked about this, he said something over that weekend, and that Bound for Glory weekend, something happened. What, we don't know. But something happened that either sparked Hulk Hogan to go out and say these things about Bobby Roode, or to get Hulk Hogan to lobby backstage for a rewrite. Something happened. He crossed the boss, or something happened. But now Hogan and Bischoff and some of the powers that be in TNA are laughing on Twitter and saying things like they just don't get it. You know, like there's a big payoff for this coming. And basically just chill out, relax, and go with the flow. Well, you can't necessarily tell wrestling fans to relax, because wrestling fans want what they want when they want it, and they want results, and they want it now. Why do you think the WWE, with some of the best angles they've had in years, this year alone, have rushed them to the point that they almost didn't make any sense? Because people that are wrestling fans generally have a short attention span, and they want results, and they want them now. And there's something going on. I don't know what it is. I've not even begun to wrap my brain around it. I think that it has to do with Fortune eventually depleting Immortal, which is, if you saw him on Thursday night, it consists of Gunner, Bully Ray, Flair, and Bischoff. There's nothing immortal about any of that other than Ric Flair. And I think that Immortal is going to get run off by Fortune, and they're going to go away. Once that's done, I think Fortune's going to implode upon itself as everybody in that group, in that faction, including Kazarian, is going to want a shot at James Storm's belt, and he's either going to be their best buddy and give it to him, or he's going to say, or he's going to be stingy and say, no, I want to keep the belt. I don't want to face my friends. Either way, a storyline will develop where I think after Fortune gets rid of Immortal, they focus on themselves and that title, and I think Fortune implodes from within.
Well, either that happens or James Storm fucking joins Immortal or Bobby Roode joins Immortal. I mean, you know,
I think
they have a habit of doing that.
I think eventually Roode's going to take the title from Storm.
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of who's going to be facing, who's going to be heel, you know, who's going to join Immortal, who's not. I mean, I really feel like one of them is going to do it.
Well,
because that's what they do.
That would be bad.
That's what
horrible.
TNA does, though. They've done that consecutively.
Well, just don't put it out there then for them to hear. I think that's a horrible fucking idea. Yeah. You do too, but if we don't say it, it won't happen.
Well, I would hate to think they stole my idea and use that, but you know,
they've never taken anything I've said on this show before.
Well, yeah, nobody ever listens to us, so yeah. Well, yeah, I wanted to cover that real quick before we jump into Raw, and I want to briefly run over what happened on Raw. So let's go ahead and hit that sounder because we're running a little bit low on time. But let's go ahead and talk some Monday Night Entertainment.
And now it's time to review Monday Night Raw. Time to talk a little wrestling. Oh, wait, we're talking Monday Night Raw. I guess that means it's time to talk entertainment. Yeah.
So we open up the show with Triple H's music as Triple H comes down and cuts a very, very good promo. He talks about how business is tough, you know, and he learned early on from Killer Kowalski that you can either make money or you can make friends in this business. And you're lucky if you can do both. And he says that he was lucky because he did get to do both. And he talked about guys like Kevin Nash and Shawn Michaels and Sean Waltman. And as you mentioned earlier, he kind of bypassed Scott Hall. And
I think if it not for that E60 thing, he probably would have said Scott Hall's name.
He probably would have. You know, and he says, you know, as corny as things sound, you know, with the power bomb that Kevin Nash gave him, he didn't, you know, break his back or his shoulder, but he broke his heart. And he says because of that, he's going to take out Kevin Nash. And so he basically calls out Kevin Nash and says, be a man for once, come out and face me, because I'm going to kick your ass here tonight. Well, this doesn't lead to Kevin Nash coming out. It leads to fucking John Laurinaitis or Laryngitis or, you know, Johnny Ace or whatever the fuck you want to call the guy, the Raw GM, if you will, the talent relations manager. Comes out and says that, you know, he heard a rumor Nash was here, and he heard a new rumor that Nash was at home. And the Triple H needs to stop this before he embarrasses the company. Triple H and John Laurinaitis getting to a war of words. Triple H doesn't want to hear anything that Laurinaitis has to say. And says that he wants him to go and sign Kevin Nash to a big lucrative contract that he can't refuse. Or he's going to go to his house, and he's going to find him. And he's going to embarrass the company because he's going to beat the living shit out of him. And I thought this was the perfect way to open the show.
I thought it was a great segment. It was a great segment by Triple H to come out and say, look, I'm going to embarrass the company anyway. I'm going to go to jail for what I'm going to do to this guy. I mean, it's just going to, it's black and white, no gray in the middle. I'm going to go to jail. So I can either embarrass the company on Monday Night Raw or I can embarrass the company by going to jail as a COO for going to somebody's house and beating the ever-living shit out of them. You make the call.
So,
and pretty much it would have been a Randy Orton invasion all over again.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, Triple H walks up the ramp. Laurinaitis says, hey, man, you know, let's be realistic. Let's talk this out. And, of course, as Triple H's back is turned, Kevin Nash comes in from behind with the sledgehammer and hits Triple H in the back with the sledgehammer. to which Johnny Ace quickly tells him to get out of the building. He doesn't belong here.
Referees surround Triple H, then Nash acts like he's going to attack Triple H again, and he basically goes out the entranceway, and they go to commercial. Great opening segment. Great opening segment.
We haven't seen an opening segment like that in a long freaking time.
And especially following a pay-per-view where that was the first thought on everybody's mind.
Yep. So this brings us to our first match of the night. We got a tag team competition with the stars of SmackDown, Randy Orton, the Viper, and the Great White Sheamus, the Celtic Warrior, taking on Cody Rhodes and Christian. Really good match here, but of course in the end, RKO delivered to Christian, and of course the Celtic Cross delivered to Cody Rhodes by Sheamus. He gets the 1-2-3 victory. Just a really solid tag team match.
Yeah, another great, you know, way to start off the show, as they still dub it the Raw Super Show.
Which I hate, by the way.
Yeah. But a very good match. And they took a couple commercial breaks during this match. It was a lengthy match. And really ironic that they let Randy Orton get the beatdown and set up Sheamus for the hot tag.
Yeah.
I mean, I really expected that to be the other way around, and Sheamus did a good job of playing to the crowd and getting them hyped up for the hot tag.
You know, I'm telling you, Sheamus is going to be the guy. I think he's going to be that guy that's getting a WrestleMania moment this coming year. I mean, 2012 is going to be a big year for Sheamus. I think he's going to be the world heavyweight champion on SmackDown. You know, the guy can have a match with a broomstick and make it look good. I mean, he is just that good.
I have to agree with you. I think he's going to be the guy, if they don't screw this up, like we talked about on the show last night in the phone call segment. You know, Mark Henry is a monster, yes. But don't make him so unbeatable that you don't have anybody on the roster to take the title from him when it's time to. It's not time to do it yet. Let him win a few more. Let him build up some more momentum. But just be careful not to overbuild him, because then you don't have anybody on the roster that's believable to take the belt away from him when it's time. And I think by the time they get there, Sheamus is going to be ready to go. And he's going to be the guy that they can put that belt on with faith to carry it in past post-WrestleMania.
Oh, I think so. I think he's going to be one of the big main event stars of the future, and you know, someone who's going to be around for the next decade or so. I think he's going to be a staple for this company. Next up, we have a backstage segment with John Laurinaitis on the phone talking with what we believe is Stephanie McMahon in regards to checking up on Triple H. John Cena walks in as David Otunga is right next to John Laurinaitis. John Cena basically says, "Hey, Carlton Banks, aren't the Fresh Prince and Uncle Phil looking for you?" Which, you know, again, a lot of people that don't know anything about the 90s when that show was on probably didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. But to us that were alive in that era, yeah, I mean, we knew exactly where he was going. But
the
best
part was, by the way, tell Hillary she's still hot.
Yes. That was good. Basically, John Cena says he wants a match with R-Truth and Miz. And that, John Laurinaitis says he'll pick his partner. And then starts texting as Cena leaves.
What's up with the texting?
That's his gimmick. He's a texter.
But who's he texting?
Well, I don't know. That's just it. We don't know. He's probably texting himself.
Well, no, there's got to be somebody.
You could go blind, brother, if you text yourself.
Well.
That's bad.
I think it's Vince.
Probably.
I still think he's a stooge for Vince McMahon.
Oh, he's an absolute stooge for Vince McMahon.
And that he's in there to sabotage Triple H and get the company back into Vince's hands.
No, I would agree with that. Next up, we have our next match. It is Santino Marella, who, goddamn it, looks weird with fucking hair. Marella versus Dolph Ziggler, accompanied, of course, by his entourage, Jack Swagger and Vicky Guerrero. Really short match. At one point, we see the Cobra possibly make its debut in the match, but doesn't happen. Swagger gets the distraction. Dolph's able to hit the zigzag for the win. And, of course, Dolph and Swagger attack Santino after the match. Swagger applies the ankle lock until, believe it or not, the next big babyface on the Raw brand, Mason Ryan, or Baby Batista, as he's been called in the chat, comes in and makes the save. I'm telling you, I think Mason Ryan is going to be the next U.S. champion.
Yeah, they're sure building up to that. He's, you know, way over with the crowd, so why not?
Well, the guy looks like a fucking $1 million. He's not bad on a microphone. He's not great, but he ain't bad either. So we'll see where they go with this. We have Alberto Del Rio coming out for his victory celebration. He calls all the fans basically idiots for thinking that he wasn't going to win his match against Cena last night. He proved he was the better man. He's done with Cena. He's moving on to a new challenger. The only problem is there's nobody in the WWE better than him. And you know what happens next, right?
Yeah, cult of personality.
Cult of personality, which means we get CM Punk down, who says that, you know, he knows Alberto is tough, but maybe he took a few too many shots to the head in his match last night, but Punk's beaten Alberto several times.
Did you get the 80s, 90s reference before he got in the ring? When he said Gray Sports Almanac?
Yeah, the Back to the Future reference.
Exactly. I'm glad you got that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew the Gray Sports Almanac reference was there.
Tonight was flashback cutdown night.
It kind of was. You know, but Punk says he never got his rematch after Alberto beat him. And Alberto says, well, you're not worthy of a title shot because you lost your match last night. You're a loser. And so this basically continues with John Laurinaitis coming down.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, but there you go. That's a perfect impersonation, actually.
CM Punk, you're not going to get a match tonight. Could you hold your microphone up where everybody can hear you at least?
Stop whispering.
Hold it up here. All right, well, you're not going to get a match tonight. Blah, 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 blah.
Basically says he wants CM Punk to tell him that he's a great general manager.
Oh, my God.
And this allows Punk to make fun of him for being a former wrestler who wasn't that good, but still ended up becoming a top brown noser.
Just goes to show how somebody with so little talent can make it oh so far in this business.
Yep. In the end, Punk ends up grabbing Ricardo Rodriguez and hitting the go to sleep.
Poor Rodrigo.
You know, he gets punched by the Big Show. He got that big shiner on his eye.
That motherfucker has got his ass beat more than the Brooklyn Brawler.
You know, it's like the reference since Halloween is coming up, Trey. You know, when I think of Alberto Del Rio and Roberto Rodriguez or whatever the fuck, you know, Eddie Munster, whatever the fuck you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy looks like he's been hit in the face with a shovel. Right. He literally reminds me of Igor. You know, if Alberto Del Rio is Dr. Frankenstein,
right,
then you got to think that makes him Igor. You know,
that should be a quick fix costume idea for you mothers out there listening to the show. If you are of Spanish descent, if you're Mexican in any way, just put your son in a suit, a tuxedo, grease back his hair, give him a big black eye. He'd give us Rodrigo Rodriguez.
And I tell you something, I used to think that Rodriguez did a pretty good job of ring announcing, but here lately, his ring announcing sucks.
Well, I don't speak a lick of Spanish other than cerveza por favor, so I'm not sure what... I don't know what any of that other shit means.
Well, you and the rest of the English-speaking crowd.
I mean, I just want to know what he's saying. He could be telling us all to go fucking buy lottery tickets. He could be telling us that the cheese is bad.
True.
I don't know. I think this is something we should know.
No, I would agree. But
I mean, if they've got space to put the Twitter addresses of every wrestler and announcer and cameraman in the company at the bottom of the fucking screen, why can't they put subtitles on what fucking Rodriguez saying when he announces Alberto?
I know, because he said Alberto Del Rio's name like three times before he actually did the announcement. He heard him say something about John
Cena. I understand that part.
Yeah, see, obviously, He obviously
had
something.
That's the only part I get.
He obviously had something to say about he beat him at the Last Man Standing match or something. I don't know, but. Since the archive listeners are going to be listening to this, their homework assignment for the next WNL show, and I'm going to put this to Latino718. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Sandro, or I'm going to talk to Santo Loco.
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez. I want one of you guys to tell me what the hell he's been saying.
Well, Rodriguez, he's got the name Rodriguez, but apparently he's not Spanish.
Oh, there you go.
He's not a Mexican. Oh. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Oh, who knows? Next match on the card, we have Natalya versus Alicia Fox. We got Beth Phoenix sitting at ringside with Jim Ross, with Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole.
She's looking good, too.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, Beth is looking good. But, you know, Michael Cole obviously sucking up to Beth Phoenix. This match was a little interesting because I expected Natalya to wipe the floor with Alicia Fox.
So did everybody else.
And Natalya made a mistake that allowed her to get rolled up for a surprise victory win when Alicia Fox rolled her up. So, and then, of course, she scurries up the ramp and avoids getting beat down by both Natalya and Beth Phoenix.
Well, hell yeah.
You know, if they're the Divas of Doom or the Divas of Destruction or whatever the fuck they're calling them, why did they lose so many fucking matches?
It's what I said before. You didn't see Kane and fucking Undertaker lose like that when they were the Brothers of Destruction.
I mean, shit, even Lakel were more dominant than these two.
No doubt. And they're the Divas of Destruction upon themselves.
Yep. So, our next match on the card, this was the next stop in our John Morrison farewell tour. As he took on former NXT winner Wade Barrett, a guy who
White Barrett,
quite frankly, is someone who's been, you know, lower on the card since last year, who was basically main eventing a lot of the shows last year.
You know, he needs to be careful. Oh, Wade does.
Oh yeah,
because he says a lot of things on Twitter that, you know, you might get in trouble. I mean, you're not CM Punk. You can't get away with the same shit he says. But he tries. And he even said at one tweet that I read of his, said something along the lines of, if I had any control over my character whatsoever, I would lose my horrible entrance music and I would come out to this. And he posted a link of a YouTube song that he likes. Shit like that gets you in the doghouse.
Well, then maybe he'll be following John Morrison on that farewell tour soon.
Quite possibly. He's back to wearing his jacket in the ring and all that shit.
Well, anyway, early on, we see Morrison take a huge big boot by Wade Barrett. And, you know, kudos to Morrison. He sold that shit like $1 million.
Well, that's all he's got left to do right now is to sell.
Pretty much.
WWE's already sold. On getting rid of his ass.
Yep, looks like it's going to be curtains for John Morrison soon.
So when is it going to be? Either James Storm or Bobby Roode versus John Morrison? How long?
What are the bets that John Morrison wins that title before Bobby Roode?
Probably. Well, he's going to have a 90 days.
Mark my words, they're going to see John Morrison run to TNA and be, oh, big star, we're going to make him famous.
And the Dixie's going to get on Twitter and say, it's the biggest announcement in the world of wrestling. It will shake the foundation of professional wrestling today.
Surely not. She's never done that before.
No.
Of course.
And Hogan's going to have a video where it's part two of the Deuce, where he's wiping his ass, and he says, Jomo, the next world champion. Make it so, number two.
Possibly. So the end of this match sees Morrison go for his patented flying chuck kick. Wade catches him in midair, puts him on his shoulders, and hits the wasteland for the win. So pretty clean little setup. Jomo on the way out, folks. Next stop, next week on his farewell tour. We'll see what happens.
That's right. Be careful who you put your dick in. They might cost you your career.
Now, be careful of the stupid shit you do, too. That's going to be another thing. Next up, you know, this was the only negative part of Raw, and I'm so sick of this shit. You know, being a fan of Jim Ross, I am so tired of the constant embarrassment that they like to give JR on a weekly basis, it seems like, with having these stupid photos of Jim Ross where he's exercising. It's, you know, it's his face photo imposed on a big fat fucking body. This basically is Michael Cole calling him out with this Michael Cole challenge for next week when they're in Atlanta. And that if Jim Ross beats him in this Michael Cole challenge, he can have his job back as, you know, commentator on Raw, because Michael Cole will quit.
Yeah, right.
So if that is the
two things here. JR has tweeted all week on his Twitter page at JR's Barbecue that he has no interest in returning to weekly television. He is getting ready to be so busy with the launch of the NFL, with the launch of WWE's new network. He's going to be so busy with that, he's not going to have time to be the full-time announcer for that company. They're just starting enough hours a day.
Well, then what was the setup? To embarrass Jim Ross even that much more?
Well, it probably will be, yeah.
What a waste. I'm so sick of Michael Cole. I know they're trying to give him heel heat, make him a fucking heel character, but didn't we end that after WrestleMania? When he had to come back on Raw?
I thought we did, but he started kissing Jim Ross's ass and Jerry the King Lawler's ass there for a while. But, like I said, makes no sense, the shit they do. I mean, Triple H was a COO for less than 24 hours, and the first thing he did was bring JR back to the announce table. And then when everybody was showing their ill support for Triple H, even Jim Ross was the last one to walk out after Triple H is the one that gave him his job. And it just made no sense.
True enough, my friend, true enough.
At this point, it's like a fucked up version of WWE Universe. You never know what you're going to get.
True that. We get a backstage segment with Zack Ryder talking to Josh Matthews. Says in tonight's main event, he isn't worried about facing Miz or Truth because they can fist pump like him. Zack says he's friends with John Cena and they party together. Then he gets attacked from behind by Miz and Truth. They punch him and throw him onto the set. Miz kicks his head through it. And they head to the ring after the referees run in and break them apart. So Miz and Truth say they aren't done. They showed Zack Ryder why they shouldn't be messed with. Nothing is going to save John Cena's ass tonight.
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a damn thing. So next up we have Awesome
Truth. Not even his new shirt and his new shorts.
That's right. So next up we have the Awesome Truth versus John Cena. This match didn't last too terribly long. Obviously, it was the main event. We got to see all the familiar Cena spots multiple times. I saw the Protoplex at least three times in this match tonight. That's that kind of powerbomb move he kind of does that sets up for the five-knuckle shuffle.
Mm-hmm. And then you can't see me.
Yeah, and then you can't see me. And whatever. So he goes for the attitude adjustment. And lifts up the Miz. Truth runs in and hits him in the face with a water bottle.
I thought Truth was going to shit his pants in his promo tonight.
A water bottle, Trey. Last night, it was a fucking belt that took him out. Tonight, it was a water bottle.
Well, that's the Truth's new thing. Water bottles. He's been using them ever since he flipped over to being a bad guy.
Forget the building. It could fall on top of
Remember, it was the water bottle that got him to turn heel in the first place.
I guess.
Because they caught him on camera in his, gauntlet thing, drinking out of a water bottle. He had somebody bring him a water bottle, and the Miz or somebody came out and made fun of that the next night, and then it was Morrison came out and made fun of it the next night, and boom, heel turn.
So, again, the water bottle. This ends in a disqualification, obviously, with John Cena getting the win.
After fighting the handicap match.
Pretty much. We see Miz hit the skull-crushing finale, and then Truth follows it up with the What's Up finisher that he has.
Yes.
They continue to beat the crap out of him until Laurinaitis comes out and stops them, tells them both that they won't be disrespectful again, and tells them to get out.
Get the F out.
He then changes his mind and says, wait a moment. He tells Cena that tonight didn't work, so he is going to let him pick his own partner for Survivor Series. So Cena says he can choose anyone he wants. Cena's sick of the awesome truth. He needs someone who's going to bring it. So he's going to send out an invite for The Rock to be his partner.
He wants to do it with The Rock.
He wants to do it for the people. For The Rock.
So there you go.
So that's where we're setting up for Cena and Miz teaming up at Survivor Series. Together against, obviously, the awesome truth.
You mean Cena and Rock teaming up against Miz and, yeah, awesome truth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's... Eh.
But overall, I
mean, does that make you want to buy a pay-per-view, really?
You know what? I'm anxious to see how The Rock is going to be in a match after 7 years. To be quite honest, I think Survivor Series is shaping up to be something kind of cool.
I mean, he'll come in, he'll go punch, 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 spit in the hand, punch. He'll knock people over the top rope. He'll do some fucking elbows. He'll kip up.
He'll do the spine on the pine.
Yeah, he'll fucking do all that. It's his move repertoire. It is what it is.
He'll abuse Todd Grisham. Oh wait, Todd Grisham's not there. He'll abuse Josh Matthews.
Yeah.
In a promo segment. He'll find something to do.
He doesn't have Lily in there to ask about the strudel.
That's true. Maybe they'll bring back Coachman for one night. You never know.
But that's your Monday Night Entertainment.
And, overall, I think it's a good show. But you know what I want to see for Survivor Series? I'll be real honest. Since we're bringing all these nostalgic talent back, since The Rock's coming back after 7 years.
Kevin Nash is there.
Kevin Nash is now there. I think Wade Conrad actually said on the SNS Facebook page that it's like 2003 all over again.
Right.
Brock Lesnar's going to be in the WWE 12 video game. He's right. So, with Air Boom being the tag team champions right now, I want to see some kind of multi-tag team match for the titles. I want to see them bring back classic tag teams from the past. Because here's the thing. I recently saw a video promo with the Headbangers holding onto these stupid little cardboard belts that they called their kids' belts. Fucking Champions of the Universe Tag Team Champions or some shit. And they basically cut a promo on Air Boom. I want to see, the Headbangers come back and face Air Boom and... maybe since the Road Dogg is working as a road agent.
I was going to say the New Age Outlaws would be good.
Why not bring the New Age Outlaws back and let them have a shot at Air Boom? Kind of do something like a big gauntlet thing where you got all these teams from the past and do something different,
Right.
Maybe it's just me, but I'd like to see that.
I'm down with that. Since we're having a nostalgic Survivor Series anyway, might as well.
I think it'd be cool, man.
I'm down. I'd enjoy that.
But yeah, that's going to do it for Raw. As far as my grade, I'll give it a B. Solid B. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I'll give it a B plus. They did everything they could to advance last night's storylines that they advanced from last night to tonight. They advanced them all a little further from tonight till next Monday.
No, true that. And, again, I was very high on the pay-per-view last night, thought it was an A, and it's not often that we have a good pay-per-view show and then a good Raw to follow it. So I'm quite pleased with the events, and I might be one of the only ones.
I can't think of the last one.
I might be one of the only ones that feels this way, but there you go. There's my comment. I might be one of the only ones that feels this way, but I'm actually looking forward to it.
I thought your whole house felt that way.
I might be one of the only ones that is looking forward to Nash and Triple H.
Oh, no. I am too. And the reason being, for one, Triple H will know how to work with Kevin. Triple H will accommodate Kevin. And Kevin right now is in the best shape he's ever been in, to my knowledge.
Oh, the guy looks fantastic.
You got a guy like Triple H in the ring with Kevin Nash, you're not expecting anything flashy or any high spots. So let the two guys go there and beat the hell out of each other. Barroom brawl.
Yep, I agree.
Last man fucking standing. Let's do it.
I agree. Now, normally we would take a commercial break and then come back and take your phone calls and emails. We are going to take our last commercial break of the night. We're going to come back and wrap the show up. I've got a very special song of the night. But with that said, we're going to take our next commercial break and come back with more Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Wrestling News Podcasted.
That's right. Wrestling News Podcast. Right after this.
USA, this is Anarquia, your TNA World Tag Team Champion, and you are listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Orale!
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and of course some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Brother. Oh, all right.
With the one inch python.
Oh, speaking of which, hey everybody, it's William Walkie Walker here, along with my British co-host from all the way across the pond, and we want to invite you to check out the Elite Force Podcast, located at www.eliteforcepodcast.com.
Don't do the triple W shit. Why do you do that every time? Why don't you just say concisely, www?
Well, you can find it at www.eliteforcepodcast.com. I just like saying
that. See, that sounds so much better.
So much better? We're also located exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones TV Network. We talk about science fiction. In the world of science fiction, of TV, film, and music, and video gaming, and everything else we love to talk about.
No shit, Sherlock.
So, you can find us weekends and midweeks with myself, William Walkie Walker, and the most fusion of all sci-fi and gaming, Philip Mine White Morris, on Sundays.
Oh, you've got to know everybody's going to love just to tune in for me.
You are the resident angry man at times.
I am the resident fucking who gives a fuck.
And then on Wednesdays for the midweek, the ha-ha Chuck W, as he keeps you guys updated on some of the news going on as well as sci-fi. So listen to the Elite Force Podcast, posted Wednesdays and Sundays on www. Happy?
Yes, I'm happy now.
EliteForcePodcast.com, also exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Crystal Gaming Network.
Remember that there are always possibilities. Live long and play longer.
On an all-new Impact Wrestling, the charismatic Enigma returns to the ring when Jeff Hardy faces Bully Ray, and a new number one contender will be crowned when Bobby Roode clashes with Samoa Joe on Impact Wrestling, Thursday at 9 on Spike.
Deep down, I mean, I'm a kind and genuine person.
There are very few people I respect in this business, and Jeff Hardy earned that respect for me.
Jeff Hardy is a father, great husband, a tremendous son to his father, and Jeff Hardy, the performer, is just going to go out there and give the people whatever he can.
TNA Wrestling and Direct Auto Insurance present Turning Point.
This is Vince Russo. You're listening to Wrestling News Live from the SNS Network.
All right, we're back right here on the SNS Radio Network. Thanks to the Darth Overlord there, Vince Russo of TNA. no longer in TNA Creative, at least the head director. That's Bruce Prichard now. But nonetheless,
JJ, I am your father.
No, you're not my father. You're not my father. No.
You will grow. The force is strong in you. You will book bad wrestling angles just like I.
Can I book Samoa Joe in a, I don't know,
a knockouts title match? Yes, you can.
You are my father.
I just talk like this because I'm sick like the rest of your family.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised to hear that promo from you today. That was.
I told you as soon as I got it, I was like, you're going to love this.
Oh, yeah. You know, anytime you mix Star Wars and fucking, you know, liners and shit, especially with Vince Russo, just kind of works.
I just thought, what song could I use for the Vince Russo liner? The first thing that popped into my head was Darth Vader, since he's such the world-known bad guy.
Well, I mean, he did book the greatest WCW champion of all time. You got to give him credit for that one.
Oh, God.
I mean, there has never been a WCW champion that stood the test of time like David Arquette.
Hey, you know, the guy's going to be the Dancing with the Stars champion, so he's going to be a two-time champion.
That's true. That is true. Anyway, we're back right here on Wrestling News Live. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the mic, JJ All Cap Sexay, and I'm joined, of course, by the Trey Dog.
On Wrestling News Recorded.
Wrestling News Recorded, yes. It's our new podcast.
Hopefully, we'll get all this chicanery, skullduggery,
yeah,
figured out. It's something on the Shoutcast side of things.
Yeah, it's nothing on my end tonight, guys. It's totally a Shoutcast issue, so hopefully we'll have it resolved. This is really the first time in, I think, the 2 years we've been running Wrestling News Live that we've had this problem, so.
It's come up once before, but we were able to fix it because we had all hands on deck. But some people that we need to help us get this thing back online are probably already in bed tonight, and they weren't expecting to switch, which happened right at midnight Eastern. So there you go.
It happens. It happens. But we're persevering. And, you know, hey, you guys that were listening live, you're going to catch it on the archive. So it's all good. Before we wrap things up, and we're going to be wrapping things up here momentarily, no emails, no phone calls tonight, obviously, because, well, there's nobody in the live chat room right now that's able to hear this show, so.
Oh, they're still there.
There's still quite a few people there. Holding on to hope that we're going to be coming back on the air anytime soon.
Poor bastards.
Yeah. We're addictive. We're like fucking, you know, drugs to Jeff Hardy.
I need my smack, Bird. I guess. Come on, Bird, I need my smack.
Before we wrap things up, I do want to alert you guys to what's going on the network this week. Tomorrow, not on the network, of course.
JJ has fired everybody. Good night.
Yeah, I'm apparently an asshole. I fire everybody these days.
Everybody's gone. This is the last show for Wrestling News Live. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the SNS Radio Network's going out of business tomorrow. Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
You sold everything to somebody else.
Oh, you mean I actually make money if I sell it?
Depends on how good of a salesman you are, I guess.
There you go, I guess, man. I don't know. Tomorrow night, not on the network, but over at cause.ws, I'll be doing the CauseCast with Charles Shane, and we'll be talking more in depth about some WWE 12 news. I do know that, as of today, it was recently announced that, former THQ member Marcus Stevenson, who's been a guest on the CauseCast many a times. He left THQ earlier in the year. He is now back with THQ and has a new title. He's still doing community management, but he's also going to be a game designer as well. So he is now back with the company, and we look forward to speaking with him again on the CauseCast. And I just want to throw a quick shout-out to Marcus. Glad to have you back, man. It's good to have you back where you belong.
And speaking of WWE 12, how ironic is it? It's almost Alanis Morissette ironic that...
Don't you think?
That, you know, when WWE 12 announced its rosters, Kevin Nash was announced as a playable character, as a part of the WWE 12 roster. And all he had done thus far was appear in the Royal Rumble and have a Legends contract. And now, here he is, involved in television programming just in time for the release of WWE 12.
Well, now, mind you this. I don't know a lot of details about the WWE 12 storyline, but the road to WrestleMania, I did recently find out, is going to encompass about 18 months. And it's not like a typical three-month story. In this one, you're able to play as three different characters. You start off as Sheamus as a villain, and he basically runs roughshod over the roster. You go from the villain to, I believe, the outsider storyline, which involves Triple H. And if I'm not mistaken, it involves WCW, because that's where Nash comes into play. There are WCW arenas that are unlockable, like Clash of the Champions, Starcade, WCW Nitro.
Really?
Yes. After you're done with the outsider road to WrestleMania, it branches into the hero, which, and here's irony for you. The hero is your created character that you can customize and make. You cannot name the character, as it already has a pre-given name and voice given right to the character. And none other than TNA's Austin Aries voiced the character of Jacob Cass, the character that you will portray as your created character.
Ironic.
So that's what I know going into Road to WrestleMania. So it sounds like it's gonna be really cool this year.
I'm digging the sound of that.
You know, also news coming out, you can create your own show in Universe. If you want to take Raw off of Monday nights and put WCW on there, you can do that now. You can literally customize the Universe mode to pretty much your liking. If you want to turn off certain wrestlers in the game, you can take them out of Universe mode. You can literally...
Could you put Nitro and Raw on Mondays and have them go back-to-back as episodes?
No, you could do Monday as Raw. You could do Tuesday as Nitro. I think you could do like three shows in a week. So if you want to replace Raw, SmackDown, and Superstars with your own show, you can do that.
Okay.
And pretty much have it run. The Universe mode is supposed to be much more intuitive this year. It kind of goes along with, you know, who you book in your match types and you have rivalries and friendships with. And you're supposed to be more in control of things this year.
I'm looking forward to that.
So this game is going to kick ass. You know, given the fact that we now know that Brock Lesnar is a featured character in the game.
Here comes the pain.
There are 23 different belts in the game this year. Some classic nice championships. You can actually, for whatever show that you want to make with, and I don't know if you know about this, but you can make your own custom ring. Did you know about that?
So if you want to custom name your pay-per-views.
Yeah. In other words, like, and once the game comes out, you'll be able to have community creations, right? So if you literally want to have WCW on Monday night, you want to have ECW on Tuesday, if you want to have Impact on Thursday, you can literally make your own ring and arenas to fit those shows and use them in Universe.
You want to pretend that Shane come back or Vince has purchased Impact?
Correct. You can pretty much do with this what you want. Now, you can't. Like, downloaded stuff, say you download an Impact ring, you can't make a story and then re-upload it into Community Creations. You can play that story, or you can do whatever you want with it. You can make your own stories, but you're not going to be able to do that. And that's just that's an Xbox thing. That's not
right.
A THQ, you know, hindering you from doing stuff. That's Microsoft.
Going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is. But that's all the news I have for that right now. But as far as other things going on in the network, like I said, CauseCast tomorrow over at cause.ws. Wednesday night, the Pro Wrestling Rerun with the Power Andy Knowles. Find out what Andy has in store, if he's still boycotting Raw or if he's watching it now. Never know with that Power Andy Knowles.
You never know.
Friday, I'll be back with the return of Unplugged.
Yay!
So we'll be talking about Batman Arkham City, which I'm hoping to be picking up in the next day or so.
I've already watched the Year One DVD.
How is that?
Awesome.
Cool.
Awesome.
I'll be checking that one out too.
And the cool thing is that, you know, it follows, you know, the history of Year One for Batman. But it's got like Catwoman in it. It's got Commissioner Gordon in it. It's got Penguin. It's got, you know, all the, you know, beginnings of, I didn't have the Penguin. I guess that was Arkham City that I was watching. But it leads to Commissioner Gordon and Batman, who start out as enemies. It leads to them being allies, and Commissioner Gordon going from lieutenant to commissioner, and how it happened with Batman's help and his, you know, Batman
you know, surviving some things because of the commissioner. But as they team up, they leave it wide open for year two as the Joker will be introduced.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out. No pay-per-views this weekend that I'm aware of. Like we just had them all. So don't forget to check out the latest episodes of Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman, the Elite Force podcast with Chuck W. for the midweek, and, of course, with Walkie and Mindwipe on the weekend edition, and What Would Fans Do? And that pretty much does it for the week here on the SNS Radio Network. Now, I was talking with Trey today, and we're going to make some changes regarding our SNS Facebook page.
Right.
And I'm going to start that with this archive. So what you're not going to see from now on, I'm not going to be posting the audio on Facebook. What I will do is when I post the audio on the website, per se, I will go on Facebook and tell you to go over to the SNSRadioNetwork.com to download the latest show. And I think that's what we're going to start doing from now on.
We also want to begin to push all the traffic to the SNS Radio Network website. So for all the shows on the network, you'll be going to the SNS site. We want to make it more, you know, where instead of having our show scattered all over the place, the SNS Radio Network should be your home for all things SNS Radio affiliated, and that's the way we want to keep it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to be making some changes, some very positive changes over the next coming weeks. So bear with us, guys. Good things are on the horizon. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. I believe WNL has WNL Radio.
Yeah, and my personal page, and I really don't use the WNL Radio that much, but my personal page on Twitter is just Trey WNL.
And you can reach me over at SNS_JJ6A1 on Twitter and hit me up there. I don't use Twitter a lot, but I'm going to try and get back into that here pretty quick.
I use it pretty much every day, and then, you know, during Raw or big sporting events, I try to get on there as well. So just shoot me a message or a follow, and we'll go from there.
And if this is your first time listening to the show, if you're you're a new fan that's just recently caught on to us, the ways that you can get a hold of us, if you want to send us an email, you can send those to WNLshow@yahoo.com, and just give us your feedback.
Exactly. That's what they're there for.
That's right. We're a very interactive show. We are very fan interactive, so let's keep that going. So with that said, you got any final words before we get out of here, Trey?
No, man, just another great week of wrestling, a great weekend that we had with Impact, Vengeance, and Monday Night Raw. Now we'll go to the dog days of the week. We'll get to Unplugged to get you through the weekend, which, thank God, won't have a pay-per-view. And then we'll just see you right back here on Monday for more Wrestling News Live.
Absolutely. And I've chosen us a nice little Halloween song to get out of here, too. So,
ooh, Halloween-y.
Yeah, I like me some Rob Zombie. So with that being said, we're going to kick it over to JSK. And we'll see you guys next week for another edition of Wrestling News Live. Possibly, I don't know if we're going to do this live next week or not. Trey and I will work that out this week. But if we do not do a live version, we're either going to take the week off or do a podcast. So we'll let you know.
You will be informed.
So keep up to the SNS Radio Network page, and of course, you know, www.snsradionetwork.com for all the latest information. With that said, JSK, take us out of here, my friend.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out. Later.
Hey, Trey, that kind of sounded like Brutus the Barber saying he was the booty man to Hogan. Did you get that?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's what I thought. Good night, people. We're getting the fuck out of here.
Peace out. Happy Halloween, bitches.
Live is not affiliated with the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or any other professional wrestling and/or entertainment companies, and exclusive to the SNS Radio Network.